Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 36 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday mornings as we strive to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful here at the start of your day. Lots going on in our world. We don't ignore the events of our lives and times. We try to see them through the lenses of our Christian faith. Paul Stanley, editorial editor at ChristianPost.com, does that as well. He's at the news desk at Christian Post and joins us on our studio line once again. Paul, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Austin, good morning to everyone.
It's great to be with you. Tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina, less than 3 weeks ago. Christian Post, however, also reporting that those who lost their lives in that horrific church shooting, they're being honored and dignified in some profound ways. People are calling them martyrs. Tell us what's going on here.
Well, Mark Tooley, who is really a very well-spoken and delightful guy whose task it is to bring United Methodism back to where John Wesley, we believe, intended for it to be, wrote this piece. And Mark is really a really insightful writer and student of culture. And, you know, he was just making an observation while he was at a hotel dining area one Sunday morning, probably getting ready to go preach somewhere. About the description of the people who died there. And, you know, they didn't go, it wasn't like they went into wars. We think of a martyr, you know, going into battle, giving themselves for a particular cause. Because when these people went into that church for that Bible study, they had no idea they would do that. But, you know, I think Mark described them as a martyr because they stood up for their faith in Christ. And, you know, in the few news reports I've seen, Austin, where the state senator, who is also the pastor of the church, mm-hmm. you know, tried to talk that young man out of doing this. And I mean, so that had to be just a very emotional appeal to him not to do this in the name of the Lord. And, you know, so, but he died standing up for his beliefs, as did everyone else there.
Very, very extraordinary, and I'll make sure to tweet this finely written piece at ChristianPost.com about some of the details, sort of a summary, if you will, a synopsis of details that we've learned in the aftermath, investigation of the shootings themselves. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I'm sorry to speak over you, but if I could point out one thing, I think we've seen a tremendous difference in the reaction to what happened in Charleston versus Ferguson, Missouri, in Baltimore and other places. I mean, and isn't it so refreshing that the faith community rallied behind the families given the tragedy they went through? So much of a unique or a different reaction than we saw in Ferguson and Baltimore. And Charleston, I believe, is hopefully setting a new example when we have to deal with tragedies like that.
Well, and the amazing demonstration of painful, difficult forgiveness from some of the surviving family members of those who lost their lives. I mean, you've watched some of the video as I have, Paul. You've probably seen more of it. You've heard the audio. Absolutely riveting, and it's as though there is something alive in those people, and I believe there is. That God is using for us to see, if only we'll watch and listen. Give us your assessment of the forgiveness remarks that the family members have made.
You know, it was just incredible to watch it. And if you look at the great verses in Matthew or other places in Scripture that, you know, where they talk about offering forgiveness to people who've done tremendous wrongs. I mean, this young man took loved ones from them, took part of their families and communities from them, and they reached out with forgiveness, the way Scripture tells us to. And it was, it's just so refreshing versus the, you know, the illegal and irreparable actions that you saw in Ferguson or Baltimore to situations. There's other ways to deal with tragedy. And I think Charleston set the example, and the forgiveness aspect of that has just been incredible.
Paul Stanley, he is an editor at ChristianPost.com. He's at the news desk, and he's on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. Paul, a news story that Christian Post published, to my knowledge, it was late last night, actually, and it's front and center for us to look at this morning. It would appear as though the Islamic State is now very intentionally, and this is why I'm so grateful that the Christian Post does what it does, the Islamic State in the country of Assyria is very intentionally targeting private residences and communities of Christians and carrying out what is referred to as mass ethno-religious slaughter. That is to say, they're rounding up Christians and slaughtering and Christians very specifically as quickly as they can. In fact, this headline at ChristianPost.com, ISIS commits mass ethno-religious slaughter of Assyrian Christians as the world ignores genocide. Tell us about that last part, the world ignoring the genocide, your assessment of that.
Well, it's something that Christian Post has really tried to focus on in the past few months, also because we don't feel like in what we call the mainstream media, these issues are being covered. And you talk about martyrs. I mean, these people who are standing up for their faith in Christ and being singled out. We've seen that coming for a while, especially since the formation and of ISIS. And they're targeting Christians. I mean, their desire, their goal is to eliminate the world of Christians. And we think about it happening in Syria or Iran or Iraq or somewhere in the Middle East that many of us will never visit or set foot in. Mm-hmm. But we're drawing attention to this because we think it could begin happening here in our country if we're not careful. If we don't watch it, these groups will infiltrate here, and we think, oh, you know, Christianity is so strong in America, quote unquote, that it'll never happen here. It very well could happen here because we're throwing away our religious liberties, and when you allow that to happen, you allow groups like this to come in. But, you know, taking it back to the Middle East, that is what they are trying to do over there, and those people are the real martyrs, too, because they're standing up for their faith in Christ.
That's very well stated. How is it that it happens that we allow our religious liberty to be thrown away? I agree with that statement completely, but what does that look like to you when American Christians allow their religious liberty to be discarded?
Well, we're sitting back fat and happy. I mean, for the most part, you know, even though we do struggle with poverty and other issues, social issues like that in our country, for the most part, our country that is extremely wealthy, the wealthiest in the world, is fat and happy, and we're allowing it to be chipped away, just like someone would sculpt. If you sculpt a statue, you just don't mold it all at once. You chip away until you get what you want, and that's what we're allowing a number of groups to do. I think we've seen that in the recent Supreme Court ruling over marriage. It's been chipped away at to where it's socially acceptable and becoming more so every day, and it's not a matter of being socially acceptable, it's just isn't scriptural. And scripture does not, you know, scripture is very, very clear on marriage. So if we're not careful, religious liberties, we will have given them away. You know, I don't think we're allowing Austin for them to be chipped away as much as we are handing them to people over time by putting our guard down.
I'm with you on that. Paul Stanley, editor at the Christian Post, ChristianPost.com. We'll continue with Paul in just a moment with further updates when we return. The very latest that we know of American Christian pastor Saeed Abedini as he is held captive in the nation of Iran. More on this as we continue. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, honored to have you with us weekday mornings. Paul Stanley, editorial editor at ChristianPost.com. He's on our newsline, ChristianPost.com, doing a tremendous job. They do a tremendous job following things of supreme importance to Christians here in the U.S. and Canada and really throughout the world in ways that I don't think any other news agency really does. Paul, I wanted to follow up. What is the very latest that we know about Pastor Saeed Abedini being held captive in an Iranian prison? I know he and his wife, Nagma Abedini, they just celebrated, I believe it's an 11-year wedding anniversary, apart for 3 years in a row now. But what's going on here as you see it?
Well, obviously, his wife is doing just a stellar job of trying to keep the issue front and center, and I really applaud her for doing that because, candidly, I don't think the government is doing near enough or really anything to get him out. As most people know, the U.S. is involved in nuclear negotiations, which is another issue I just find absolutely astounding that we are talking to them about a nuclear weapon when we know probably what they're going to do with it. But, you know, she's trying to get him out of prison. He's being held there because he's a Christian. He was persecuted because of his faith and his belief. And it's a very young marriage. You know, they have an 11-year marriage at this point in time. 3 years is an eternity in that. And as I was reading the article the other day, the young children, 3 years is a significant part of their life that their dad has been away from. And I don't know why that... cannot understand for the life of me why President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry don't sit down and go, you know, we're not even going to entertain anything until not only we handle this issue, but some other human rights issues that your country is engaged in. Plus the fact that we're even talking to them about a nuclear weapon is just astounding to me. Hopefully that something will be done to get this guy, this man back home, reunited with his family and, you know, able to live out his faith and preach the gospel again.
Agreed. You're hitting on some very important issues here. My sense is that those children, and I know you're a dad, you're a parent like I am, those children in the Abedini family are so young and so little, even current photos and videos of them. My goodness, it would not shock me if having been apart from their dad for 3 years, that little boy and that little girl, they may not even remember much about their dad at all. They were so little last time he was on American soil. What are your thoughts on that?
That was my precise thought, Austin, as I read that, because, you know, having children, mine are 15 and 11, and just knowing that 3 years out of any of those years would be tremendous, and they're a lot younger. And I know his wife is just a phenomenal person, and I know she's keeping him in front of those kids every day and top of mind, but when you're not there to play ball with them, just to hang out with them, to read to them, to go to a school function, that is a part of a child's life that is significant. And you can't replace those times or those memories. And it's so important for a dad to be involved in their kid's life, and I just hope that they're able to get him back.
Let's hope so. Final question for you. Amid the turmoil in our world and the ways in which it is reported on by necessity by ChristianPost.com, give us a word of encouragement, a word of hope, if you will.
Well, here we go into the 4th of July weekend. It's the founding, the birth of our nation. And we talk about you know, America being a Christian nation. I hope it is a Christian nation. I would like to see that be revived. But I also think that we need to pray not only for our nation, we need to pray for our leadership. Whether or not we agree or disagree, we need to ask God's blessing that he will touch the lives of the people making these day-to-day decisions for us and these long-term decisions, and that we will come back to faith in him. So that's what I would like to remind the listeners to focus and concentrate on as they enjoy picnics and fireworks and time with their family that other people don't get.
Well stated, as always. Paul Stanley with ChristianPost.com. Paul, thanks for weighing in. Always good to connect with you. Hope you and yours have a blessed and safe and sane Independence Day holiday this weekend. We look forward to talking again very soon.
Thank you. Hope everyone stays safe. Thank you, Austin.
Good to be with you. It's 54 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.